So what did you think of Operation Renewed Hope? Yeah, a lot of different things that we could get additionally involved in. And so I think that's a pretty good thing. It was good to see Iris here and BJ and everybody. And so we're glad that Janice is back. And she brought a cold from... All right. If you will, open your Bible to Philippians 4. We're going to talk about the difference between needs and wants tonight. In Philippians 4:19, Paul, writing to the Philippian church about himself, said, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, Paul gives us a promise in God's word. Can we believe it? Have we experienced it to be true? Or were they just words to take space on a page? We're really looking at a fantastic promise, if that's what it is. You see, Paul had just received a large gift from the church at Philippi, and he was praising them for what they had done to meet his needs as he traveled and as he ministered. Was this statement just praise for what they had done? I don't think so. Think back in your own life and think about all the times that God interceded for you. We've all had problems pop up. We've all had, and some of them maybe were pretty serious, but they've popped up and we're still here because God met the needs. And so looking at that, I think that maybe this is a promise. We all have needs, but what is the difference between a need and a want? We have need to eat at least once a day. I eat 4 or 5 times, depending on how often I can get food in my hands. But it doesn't have to be when I eat a ribeye steak. It could be a tuna fish sandwich, and that would be meeting my need. We need to be covered by clothing, but a pair of blue jeans could do the job. It doesn't have to be a suit. What did Jesus say about these things? He made a statement about it. It's recorded twice. It's recorded in Matthew, and it's also recorded in Luke. Let's look at the Matthew 6. Matthew 6, that was during the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus was sharing with the people the things that he wanted them to know. And he says in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The world spends its time seeking these tangible things, and even more. Yet they miss the things of God. We heard a lot about that this morning. Think of the people all over the world who have never heard about God. That's some of the reasons that Operation Renewed Hope goes to some of these countries, is to tell the people and show the people that God is able to meet their needs. The people of the world miss the things of God, and unless somebody goes and tells them, their soul's going to perish in hell. Tonight, I'd like for us to think about it, just for a few minutes, to think about how God is taking care of you and I. He is taking care of us every day. For most of us, God is providing more than what we need. I won't stand with a profile to you, because I don't want you to see how much more he's providing than what I actually need. He's showering us with abundance in blessings. We have shelter over us, and we have more to eat than is actually healthy for us. We have nice clothes. We don't need to have our transportation shooed every year and feed it hay. We all have cars. God has provided transportation that is pretty comfortable, and it gets us to where we want to go most of the time. When we have problems, we call out to God to help with that problem, and he takes care of things. Usually after we've learned a lesson that will help us in the future to be more like Jesus. Verse 32 of the passage that we just read in Matthew 6 tells us that we are to seek the kingdom of God first, and that everything else will be added unto us. Now, this is the second time that God has made the promise to provide what we have need of. Paul, once again, tells us about how we should display the right attitude for those around us. Let's start with a simple of Paul's statements. 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, Paul didn't say this just one time. He said it several times and in several different ways. Let's look at a couple of them. Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That was our opening verse. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now that was Paul talking. I would ask you the same question. Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Can you? Paul's life demonstrated that he really meant what he said. He was imprisoned. He was stoned. He was run out of town. He had friends turn against him. He went hungry. And I'm sure there were nights where he slept under the stars. He didn't have any shelter. But he was content. He was content. Content with what the Lord was giving him. Do you see what he said about those things? He says that he was instructed to be content with every situation. God was in control. God was in control. God was permitting all things to be a part of his life. You know, our lives are a series of experiences. That's what makes life so interesting. It's not the same old drudgery day after day after day. We may even think we know what the day is going to be like, but before the day's over, God gives us a little gotcha just to remind us who's in control. Life can be tricky. Just about the time we think that we have everything under control, we are in control of everything, God shows us that we're not in control of anything. There's that verse in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, to them who are according to his purpose, those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. What a fantastic verse. If you're a child of God because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then everything that happens to you is for your good. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. Everything that happens is not good, but it's for your good. How can that be? Gabby and I had our bank account fraudulently entered and cleaned out a little over a month ago. Praise the Lord. No, that's not the way I reacted. I don't know that any of you would either. And just about the time that I think God has put everything back in order, he shows me there are things that I have forgotten to do. If you're a child of God, because you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, God is doing good for you. He's molding you. He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to be an example for all the people. People here, people out there. And we heard this morning all the different ways we could do that. The opportunities that are here for us to, not even knowing the people or knowing what the needs are, for us to get involved. God has things he wants you to do. And in order to do those things, one of the things he wants you to do, he wants you to serve him. How much do you serve God? You have 24 hours in every day. How many of those hours are spent serving God? Okay, well, I say grace it. The meal, that's 3 minutes. Even once in a while, I'll pray another 30 minutes. How much do you serve God with your life? How much could you serve God with your life? Are there things you could do? Are there things you could accomplish? No matter what it is, if you love God and you're trying to do what he wants you to do by serving him, there are many different ways that we can do that. And God is going to help you to do that no matter what comes up. Just like Lee Johnson. Lee and his wife are flying out to Pensacola tomorrow, and then on Wednesday, he's flying on down to Panama in order to keep his residency down there. Because if he doesn't, it will be 6 or 8 months for him to reestablish it. And so this was a sensible thing for him to do. But whether it's an unexpected surgery like he had to have and a lot of physical therapy, or you hurt yourself, or you lose money in some fraudulent transaction, as Gabby and I thought we were doing, it's for your good. God increased our faith through this. The bank told me it would be impossible to recover the money because of the way it was removed from our account. It was done with a bank transfer. Yeah. And yet, you know what? They recovered it. Now, how do you think that made us feel about God? It made us feel pretty good. It made us feel like he was looking after us. He was helping us. Each experience gives our lives, all the different experiences that you have, gives life a little bit of a different flavor. And it makes life worth living. Wouldn't it be very boring to have every day exactly the same as it was the day before? But God doesn't do that. God wants to use you to accomplish his plan. And he's going to set things up so that you can. He doesn't just permit things to happen to you. He even plans things to happen to you. That's scary. I may not want them to happen. But he does. He plans on that. You know, I don't know if you've ever had a car accident. One of us has. A couple of us have. You know, a car accident wasn't an accident. It was part of God's plan. It was part of God's plan for you. And one other person, the other driver. God had a plan. Now, if you got out of the car screaming and hollering and threatening, I don't think that was his plan. He was working something in your life and in the life of the other driver. And I can't tell you what he was doing because I don't know God's mind. But I know that he was working out something for both of you. Maybe you've never had a car accident. And about now you're even feeling a little proud that you're a better driver than some of us others. No, you're not home yet tonight. Don't get too proud. And if God does give you safety for your entire life, there are other things that can happen. God has your life planned out. He had it planned out from when you were born. Now we have free will and we may do it our way rather than his way. But I think for most of us sitting here tonight, there was a time when we gave our life to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And from that time on, God was really orchestrating things in our life, or trying to. God wants each one of us to be his servant. He really does. I don't know what God's plan is for you. I know part of God's plan for me and for Gabby. And he wants us to serve him. He doesn't want you to just mention his name occasionally, but he wants you and I to actually tell people about Jesus. Talk to them. Tell them about him. God wants you to be his messenger to the rest of the world. When each disciple wrote about some portion of Jesus' life, he provided different account information. Each one saw things just a little differently. A few minutes ago, we looked at Matthew's impression of what Jesus said about the necessities of life, and we were told to seek first the kingdom of God. Luke, who was there at the same event, he records it just a little differently. A lot of it is exactly the same, but there is a little difference. And let's look at the Luke account. Turn to Luke 12. Luke 12, beginning at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, now he's telling us about the exact same incident in Jesus' life, exactly what Jesus said. Luke heard one thing. Matthew may have heard something a little bit different. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither the body, what ye shall put on. That's the same. For the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. We know that. Consider the ravens. I don't think Matthew mentioned ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. Well, similar. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Exactly the same as Matthew. If ye then be not able to do the thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. That's what Matthew said. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Now we want to take a note. I want to stop there for just a minute. God knows what you need. He knows what you need, not what you want. He knows what you need. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added up to you. Now, up to now, the two accounts are very similar, but there's more. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. And then this is different. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew didn't say that. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. What is treasure to you? I'm sure it's not a house or a car or furniture. It's the people God has put in your life. That's the treasure. That's the real treasure. And he has put some wonderful people around all of us. I want us to look at that last verse in the passage. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Better yet, what is your treasure? Is it people? Is it things? Is it an animal of some sort? I know it's not your car or truck. Your treasure should have to do with the people that God has placed in your lives. Based upon these people, what is your need? How does the things that happen to you affect the people in your life? Throughout the years, God has placed a lot of people in all of our lives. Some were a part of our lives for a short time. Some are still with us after many years. You may be responsible for some of these people. You may have to provide food and raiment. You may have to provide shelter and other things. Let me ask you a question. Are you God? Are you God? Look at verse 30 of this passage in Luke. It tells us that God knows what we have need of. It is true that he may use us to provide these things to our loved ones. But God does not need any of us to provide those things. He can do it. And he does it every day. He can provide everything that is needed without our help. Do you think that God needs you to help him? We have to realize that he doesn't need us. He may let us do things to help, but he doesn't need us. He doesn't need any of us. We need him. And that should humble us and change our perspective of life. We are not the source of the things we have. God is the source of everything we have. And he is the only source. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything. Our success at industry of some sort or a job of some sort, God made you successful. He gave you what you needed to respond. Now, what are your needs? Are there any needs that God has never provided? I don't have any. We're all here in good shape this afternoon. If something is missing, have you considered that it may not be a need? Wants are not needs. God has promised that he will supply all of your needs. He has promised that. After that, God might even supply some of your wants. He does, every once in a while. Can we each be content with what God provides? We should be content with what we have. God gives us many things that we don't think about most of the time. And one thing which God has given each of us or saved is the Holy Ghost. Do you remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. God has provided all of those things for us. He provides all of your needs, and he will continue to do so. I'm having a health problem, and I'm going to need to leave the service for a few minutes. So go ahead and close with the last song. Let me pray to dismiss us. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing for us. Everything. And Father, use each one of us in the days to come to accomplish your will. And we will give you praise and glory for all the things that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.